Okay, hello everyone. Welcome to Computer Science E75 sections. So this week is a little bit different. We moved over a room, so now everything looks like it's in the mirror reverse. I don't know if this change will be permanent or temporary, so keep an eye out on the announcements. We just found out about the room change a couple of hours ago. I posted it on the forum announcements, but I bet almost nobody saw it because it was very recent. But certainly keep an eye out. As soon as we know any different, we'll let you know. Of course, the sections page will also be updated. Note that because we are in this room, for some reason the 10 feet difference means that we lose the live video feed, which doesn't affect people here in the room, but it affects, of course, those that are watching us from home. Also, today we are not going to be on the Illuminate live classroom, at least right now during the live section like we usually are. There will be sections as normal later on in the virtual classroom with Chris. So this changes things just a little bit, I guess not to everybody here, but to those at home. So we're trying our best certainly to get the live video feedback up, and we will do that as soon as we can. So this week, there was no lecture, as all of you hopefully know. So in section today, we're just going to basically be going over a lot of the same material that we did last week, specifically XML, and XPath, and later on, Kato will come up here and we'll talk about session variables and all of that sort of fun stuff. So we do actually have some new section notes, or not replacement notes, but additional ones for this section, written by Daniel Choi, the other Daniel from the other section, and we'll be using these. I don't think they're posted. The last time I checked, I guess we can check right now, see if they're posted yet. And they're not up yet, but don't worry, soon they will be up. And so, you know, taking a look at the forum and at all the emails that we've been getting, there seems to be a substantial amount of confusion regarding XML and XPath and how to be able to get a lot of the data from XML and XPath. So this is the time, if you have general questions or even specific ones, to feel free to ask, and we'll do our best to answer them. But in the meantime, we'll just going to start from the beginning with XML and basically how to create an XML document and what a document might look like and why you must create it in this way. So here we have, let's see, I have too many scroll bars. This is another XML example. This one, rather than the sushi example from the section notes that Kato created last week, this one is instead a list of all of the instructors in this class, Professor David, and all of us lowly TFs that are listed here. And so whenever you create an XML document, you must have what?
An opening and closing bracket.
Yeah, okay. Yep, an opening and closing element. But more specifically, you must have a root element. So you must have one element at the very beginning. In this case, it's staff. The last one, was it sushi? Okay, it was the sushi root element last week. What's that? Menu, okay. Well, whatever it was menu. I shouldn't have used that because now nobody remembers. But you certainly do need a root element before you can actually start putting any data. So once you have your root element, you are ready to go. In this case, we have a couple of other elements. We have a child of the root element, in this case is professors. In there, we could list, if we had multiple professors, we could list more than one. But in this case, we just have David. And you can see that one of the children of this one professor element is a color. This will come in to play just a little bit later. Then, of course, there are the TFs, and there are the TFs' names. And so, are there any questions about creating an XML document, or attributes, or children of elements, anything like that? Do you realize that you can have multiple attributes, but of course it's much like XHTML in that it must, all of the elements, names, and attributes must be in lowercase. All of the values that are assigned to the attributes should be in quotes, like they are here. And for every tag that you open, you must close as well. So that's all fairly straightforward, I hope. So next up is using or getting this XML data into your PHP file. And so there are a couple of ways to do this. The way that we showed you last week was to use this file get contents function, which will read the contents of that file. It does exactly what it says it does, and then basically just give the contents of that file to this simple XML element, or it's creating a new class, simple XML element, which basically just takes the contents of that and makes it into an XML object in memory. There's another way you can do that as well. There is actually in PHP a different function called simple XML load file. And from there, you can load the file directly. And of course, you can use relative paths here to, if the XML file isn't in the same directory as your PHP, you can use relative paths to access that XML file. Either way, it will be fine. You can use either method to load the XML file into your PHP document or into the variable that is going to represent the XML object in your PHP document. So generally, as these section notes suggest, that you should try to make sure that the file actually exists before you read it in. That's just good programming, just to be sure that everything is in order before you actually start to use it. Okay, and then, of course, moving down a little bit, we can use printr to print out what the XML object looks like, but there is actually somewhat of a problem. It's not going to be exact. It's not going to show you exactly everything. For example, it may not show you the root element, and there may be some other problems. So don't rely on printr for debugging, and instead you should probably use a number of for each loops, etc., to be able to determine all of the children of a particular element and go through that. For more information, you can literally just look on the PHP.net website. There are a couple of comments from users regarding printr and using it with a simple XML element that says that it kind of breaks down a little bit. And so you can use that, but use it with caution, and certainly don't use it for any production, for turning in any code or anything like that. So just an example, let's create just a very basic XML file here. So in this case, I suppose a good one to do would be to list the number of rooms that this section might move into in the various or throughout the time, and then that way we can just pick through this XML file which section or which room this section is going to move into. So, how should we start out this XML document? So in this case, all we want to do is create an XML document that lists the several rooms that this section has been in so far, and we just want to be able to later go through and pick one in the PHP, but so yes.
So first thing, we need a header.
So well, we're just creating the XML file, so we don't need the header. But what's the
root?
Yeah, we need a root element. So somebody suggest one for me.
Rooms.
That sounds good to me. Okay. Next, we need a child. So what in this case might be important for us to know about rooms? Okay, so before we start creating the children elements, we need to know the room number. We should probably also figure out the time of the section. Is there any other data? I'm sorry?
The building.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's a good one. Of course, the building before the room number. If there will be a live video feed. Okay, date. And time. So let's just use these. So this is enough data to work with for now. So what might be a good next element for us to create here? Room, did I hear? Room sounds fine. Okay, so now what? Everybody's stuck already? Only one child. What's that? Okay, yeah, so you can do this as a child. You could say building, we're in one story street. And then room number. What is this, 303 now? And then what else? Live, okay, time of the section. Oh, wait, did I do that twice? My mistake. Okay, so how about this? Let's skip over the time and date for now, but what about the live video feed? So, obviously there's a number of things that you can do. you can either set it as an attribute here, which wouldn't make a lot of sense given the way that we're creating this document, or what might make better sense is, well, let's go ahead and just put it here. We need an attribute somewhere. Live video equals false, for example. And then the date is February 21st, 2008. And the time is 1732, 1930. I couldn't do 7 plus 2 in my head. Oof, okay. So now this looks like a pretty respectable XML file already. So what about last week? Let's create a room element for last week, just so that we're sure here. So we can just basically copy-paste it, but what needs to be changed? Okay, so let's start from the top. So the live video, that was live, so we'll change that to true. How about the building? Does that change? No. Room number, that's the same. That's different, actually. 302, the date was a week ago, 14th, and the time luckily stays the same. So this isn't exactly how we've set up our sections XML file. It's in fact quite a bit different, but this is just as an example. So we'll save this. We'll save it as rooms.xml, which you don't see, it's on the other screen here. Okay. So now we need a new file to be able to load it into, so this will be a PHP file where we load the document into memory. So somebody help me out here. What can I do to load it into memory? So in this case, we're just going to make the assumption that the file exists and it's there, it's not corrupt, so we don't have to do that sort of check. But remember, there's two ways to load the XML file into memory. Yep, so you can create the new class, excuse me, or you can use this, the one that I prefer, simple XML load file. So we'll just copy it because it's pretty straightforward. Simple XML load file. And in this case, it was called rooms.xml. Of course, we should comment it. And so with comments, you can just say what you're trying to do with the code. And here I use the double slashes to say load the XML file into memory. So now you're basically halfway there. You've created the XML file, you've loaded it into memory, but now we need to do something with that file. But before we do that, are there any questions about creating an XML file, about attributes, elements, children, or loading one? Yes?
Could you talk about the difference? When would you use an attribute and when would you use an element? It seems kind of.
When would you use an attribute versus when you would use an element? So that really depends on how you want to structure the data, and that's something that, frankly, you have to decide for yourself. When we talk a little bit more about XPath, you'll see that it's very easy to do XPath queries based on attributes versus elements. And so, you can do it with elements, I believe, but it's all of the notation that we've been talking about in class deals with searching by the attributes. And it seems a lot easier in that case to do it by the attribute. Generally, what I do is, I sometimes will do it as a unique identifier in some way for that element. So rather than, you can certainly do it a different way, but for example, in the XML file that I showed last week for the different website, the one that had the number of themes, for example, it's very possible to use an ID for each theme number in the element as an attribute rather than using it as a specific child. And so in that way, with an XPath query, you would be able to find that one theme number very, very quickly through the attribute. But really, it's a design choice that, unfortunately, you just have to make for yourself. There's no real set of guidelines or rules to help get you there. Okay, so now we've loaded the XML file. So what do we do in order to get the content from it? So, of course, you know that there's a couple of ways to do that. That's with this arrow operator. Let me make it a little bit larger. So here, there is an arrow operator where we've loaded, remember this is from the section notes example, which had listed the professors, the professor and the TFs that are in this course. And so you can get to particular children elements by using this arrow operator. So if we were to scroll up to the very beginning of this file, you would see that it ignores the root element, right? So what, that's why it's important to have a root element that's not going to contain any data. You just want it to indicate that it's the beginning and essentially the end of your XML document. And then the first child is basically where you're going to start iterating through the data. So if you remember, it said $XML, that was the variable in which was holding the simple XML element. Then the arrow operator, which pointed to professors, which in this case is referring to this child element right here. And so that would contain what then in memory after we had referenced the professor's element? So it would contain more than just the name, it would actually contain its children as well. So it would contain the child of professors, which includes the professor element, the attribute called name, and then its grandchildren. I'll scroll over a little bit so you can see. Its grandchildren, whose element is named color, which has some data called gold. Yes?
So just by typing in the PhD you wrote on the other page, it would give you David
and
gold?
So just by typing in what? What do you mean? Okay, so by typing in the PHP code from that other page, the $XML arrow professors, it doesn't contain just the name David and just the word gold. It contains a smaller XML element. So you can think of it, remember, let's go back actually to the section 2 notes. Oh, fine, okay. So I know it's small. Let me zoom in here. So if you remember from the section 2 notes that you can find on the website, on page 2 it actually shows a printout of what the simple XML element looks like in memory. And it looks something like this, which is just an array of an array of an array, etc., etc. And when you're using this arrow operator, it's just taking a portion of that array. So in this case, let's see. So I hate to put another XML file up on the screen just to confuse, but if you remember from last week, this is that sushi XML. And so we had the root element sushi. You can see that the first child is fish. Then there's another child called available, the grandchild here. So let's pretend for a moment, let's switch gears to this XML file instead of the other one. And if we loaded this into memory, into that variable called XML, you would select the fish element by using the $XML arrow, right, the arrow notation, and then fish. But what that will store is that entire element and all of its children in that XML object form, which if we scroll down to the next page, which seems really far, it's basically this element right here. So it's containing all of this data. If you were to do the print R on that operation, you would get basically all of this. So it's not just saving David and gold, it's actually saving the entire, it's just saving a smaller part of that object. Does that make sense? Okay. Right, so back to this, so let's go down to where we were before. This feels slow. So you can, of course, access grandchildren using this operator. So not only can you do $XML arrow notation professors, but you can also follow that by another arrow to professor, and then you would get you'd have to do professor and then an array here, 0, just to get the first one. So scrolling just a bit more, you'll see that there is another way, or not another way, but building on this notation, we can access specific children in the XML element. So here we have XML, which points to TFs, which points to TF, and then square bracket 0. And what does this refer to? Yep, it's the first, that's right, it's the first TF. So in this case, if we were to scroll all the way back up, you'd see that there is the TF's child right here, and then there is the first TF element right here, which just happens to be this entire element. So this entire element will then be saved, so to speak, by that operating by that reference with the operator. So, okay. So, let's say then I have gotten the first TF from this list of TFs. How can I get the name of that first TF from that? Any suggestions for that? So remember, in order to get this first TF grandchild, we did $XML, arrow notation TFs, arrow notation TF, then in square bracket 0 to reference this first one, how can we get the name attribute or the data from that name attribute? Yes. XPath. Yes, XPath is a good one, but we're going to come back to that later. Okay. Yep. Yes, that's correct. So you would do, in addition to that, what I just said, you would do square bracket and then in quotes name, which references that name attribute right there. I'm sorry? No, not name instead of zero. You do that in addition to, because the zero tells which TF you're referring to. So let's say that we did, let me bring us back over here. So we are talking right now about doing $XML, arrow TFs, arrow TF zero. That returns the entire simple XML object that contains that first TF, right, which contains all of the attributes and all of the children of that, for example. Now, though, if we wanted to get the first, or if we wanted to get the attribute named name from that first child, from that first grandchild, what you have to do instead is $XML points to TFs, points to TF, reference the first one, and then you reference its attribute in quotes. Notice that you do have to do it in quotes. Single or double quotes is fine.
And this is all in a PHP bracket?
Yeah, well, this is within a PHP file. Yeah. So this wouldn't work for, if you just put this in XHTML, it wouldn't work, but this is within a PHP file itself. Okay? So in this way, you could do something like echo, and then this would actually print out the contents, or it would print out the value of that attribute, which would be what for this XML document? Yep, it would be Dan. Okay. So far, so good? Excellent. Scroll down a little bit more. Oh, XPath. Not yet, though. Okay. So this is exactly like we talked about now. Again, all these notes should be put up a little bit later. I'm not sure when exactly, but certainly within the next day or so. And you can see that you can echo out the value of that attribute that we referenced before. Now, though, instead, how would we reference, how would we get the name of the second TF? Or let's not do the second, let's do the third TF. So how would I get the name Chris out of this? That's right. Yep. So instead of, I moved it over here. So instead of zero, it's the number 2. And remember that counting in arrays starts at 0 and not at 1. So 0 is the first element, 1 is the second, 2 is the third, so on and so forth. And that's why it's minus 1. Okay. Oops. I'm a little happy with this next page button. So in the same way, you can also reference data that are in kind of the terminating children that we saw. And so If you remember, there was a child in this TF element that was called color. And in it, there was only a string that said some color, such as blue or red or gold or what have you. And you can actually reference the data just by continuing to use the arrow notation and point to that specific element. And so you'll notice that we still have, so we start out with the $XML, points to TFs, points to TF, and then references the first TF with the square bracket 0, and then we are able to get the text or the string that's in that color element by doing arrow color. So in this case, if you were to echo that out, just like it says here, it would echo out the color blue, which if we were to scroll back up, which I don't need to do because I think everybody's getting motion sickness from me scrolling up and down, that you'll see that it's the color blue. Yes?
What does a dot dollar, you know, something mean?
A dot dollar? Oh, so... Yes, so, okay. So sometimes what you want to do... sometimes what you want to do in PHP is to output more than just this one string. So this isn't very useful all by itself. Like if you had an XHTML page that said Dan, you had no idea what that would mean. So sometimes what you want to do is combine strings, or what's called concatenate the strings. And the way that you do that is with the dollar, or I'm sorry, with the dot notation. So in this case, let's see, so this TF is named colon, and then with the dot notation, you can actually add in another string in this way. So then what would be printed out in this case? This TF is named space, and then, well, yeah, it's the second TF, so it would be Chris. But yeah, that's exactly right.
If those double quotes surrounded everything, would that print out as is, or would it print out the variable?
So, okay. Yes, there is another way that you can inject data from variables into a string. So generally what we tell people is to concatenate like this, because there's no ambiguity about it. However, it is possible to be able to... so let's just delete this for a minute. Let's just make it a little bit simpler, okay? And let's say that we have a variable called string whose contents is this, for example. Okay, everybody follow along. That is pretty straightforward. So now what you would normally do in this case is echo out the $string and then concatenate with the dot, and then the string in double quotes is a variable, for example. Now, however, you can actually put the contents of this variable directly into a string without having to concatenate, but you must use double quotes. So this is functionally equivalent to this right here. String is a variable. So what PHP will do if it finds double quotes is it will actually parse through the entire string looking for variables. And in this case, it finds $string is a variable, and it would parse it, so it would put the contents of that string into here. So this would actually print out exactly the same thing that first line did. The problem, though, is if you do this, you type the exact same thing out, but with single quotes, this will actually not work. This will fail because it has to use double quotes in order to parse through it. But of course, if you use double quotes, and I believe what many of you have been trying to do is trying to do this sort of thing with an XPath query. So you might get, you might have some sort of variable, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later, but when you're trying to do an XPath query, $XML, XPath, this is a query, and then you're trying to inject a string like that, that will fail because generally what you're doing is the single quotes. But if you change it to double quotes, just give me a second to change to double quotes and make it more into XPath notation that you're all familiar with, where it says slash this slash is slash a query, and you use the @ in order to try to figure out which one you're referring to specifically, this will actually fail because this has to be in quotes as well, correct? And so with it being in double quotes, you will actually cause the string to stop. So what you would have to do then is, in order to get a double quotes into a double quote string, is to escape it with a backslash. And this sometimes can be a bit much, and it can get confusing quickly. And so what instead you should do is to just use the concatenation trick, where before you actually perform the XPath query, you just create a new variable where you say, this is a query, and then you, with the dot notation, you actually add in that variable, for example. So
I'm having trouble inserting like a string variable inside an XPath, even when I'm not trying to put it into like an echo out or something.
What's the problem that you're having with it?
I don't know. It doesn't work. But I mean, I write something along those lines, that you have in that last line there, and I tried like escaping the inner quote.
Right.
It was still failing. So I'd like try to do like name equals then my variable name,
mm-hmm.
and within the quotes and escaping those quotes. And
okay, yeah, so it's still failing even though you're using this last line of code. I'm actually getting really far ahead of myself by just talking about XPath now. Mm-hmm. So let me catch up, and then we'll talk a little bit more about how you can inject a variable into an XPath query.
A quick question.
Yeah.
In the
XPath query? What do you mean? I'm sorry.
To evaluate strings and put single quotes around them. Would that work rather than escaping it?
That should work. You can use
single quotes,
single to double quotes.
The inner variable won't be evaluated. Right?
So, no, that's not true. Because if it's single quotes, in this case, it would still be evaluated because the string is being defined by double quotes. And you can mix and you can... All right, so, okay, let's do a string refresher. Okay, so you can define strings one of two ways. So let's say we have string $A. You can define it with single quotes. This is a string. Or with $B, for example, you can create a string with double quotes. This is a second string. Right, so now you can actually insert the other type of quote into the string ad nauseum, however many times you want. So in the second one, I can put as many single quotes as I want. So in this case, I put single quotes around second, right? Similarly, in $A, I can put double quotes around any object I want. And so still the string is being defined by the outermost double quotes in the case of this $B, or the outermost single quotes as in the case of this $A, right? So there's no problem there. The problem that you get is as soon as you try to put double quotes into a string that's defined by double quotes, as is the case here, all the PHP parser is doing is it looks for the first set of double quotes and it says, okay, this is the beginning of a string. Then it goes until the second set of double quotes and it says, okay, this is the end of a string. If you were to type this out, you would get an error because it would think that second is some sort of PHP function and it would give you a parse error saying that it expected a semicolon, probably most likely. So what's actually happening if let's see if I can enable the syntax highlighting for PHP. Okay, so here with syntax highlighting on, it actually colors what it thinks is the string. So in this case, it colors the string, everything in the string is pink. So you can see that everything between the single quotes in $A is a string, everything between the double quotes in $B is a string. Now, as soon as we put a double quote inside of the string that's defined by double quotes, you see that it breaks the string like that. So you see that this second is suddenly not a part of this string, and the PHP will cause it to error out. Now, the way to fix this, if you absolutely must have a string defined by double quotes, and within it to have double quotes like you do here, you can do what's called escaping. And an escape is basically just to do a backslash in front of the character that you want to escape. And now the PHP parser won't get confused by that double quote. And instead, it'll actually print out an actual double quote. And so as you can see here, as soon as I escaped that double quote, it suddenly becomes all one continuous string once again. Okay, following along so far? So now let's say that I want to inject some particular variable into a string. So let's just call this $z and just make it a number, for example, 2, just whatever. Now, there are a number of ways I can do that. Normally, like I mentioned before, it would be with concatenations. So let's say I just wanted to put 2 at the very end of string $a here. The way that you could do that normally is to use the period operator and then add that $z. And what that will do, if you were to echo out this A string, it would say this is a string 2, right? So notice that there is another way to be able to do this, and that is to just put it directly into a string, such as the case here. So I can just put it wherever, really. $z in the middle of this string that's created with double quotes. And this would actually work as well. This is the same thing as saying, as I'll do here, $b equals double quotes. This is a escape, double quote, second, and then quit the string. Then with the period operator, add in the z. And then with another period operator, finish it off with string. This is functionally the same thing, but notice that you can only do this injection method where you put the variable directly into the string with double quotes. You cannot do it with the single quotes as shown here in this first, or in $a. So if you were to do this, it would not work. It would just show you $z. And so generally, because this can be kind of confusing at first unless you work with it quite a bit, we generally just recommend to use the dot notation, because then there's no ambiguity, you don't have to worry about any of this sort of thing. It just works. But notice that, so I forgot why I got into this whole string tangent. What was the question? I forget. There's
I'm
a question.
About specifically about strings within those XPath.
Right. I remember the string was the XPath, but I think there was another question that made me... Right, the single quotes within the double quotes, yes. So, like I said before, you can have a string defined by double quotes, and within it have any number of single quotes, and it's not going to break the string. It's not going to cause the parser to think that it's the end of a string.
And vice versa.
And vice versa, that's correct. So in a string that's defined by single quotes, as is the case of $A, we can just put as many double quotes as you want. And certainly, I do recommend at least the text editor that has the syntax highlighting for PHP, because it makes it really useful. You can find out as soon as you've broken a string on accident or intentionally, and you can fix it right away and without having to go into and run the PHP code and find the problem. Yes?
I've been trying to do that by trying to insert links.
Okay. So you say you're trying to insert links. What do you mean?
I've tried using singles, and I've tried using doubles to insert a link, and I can't get it to create a link.
Well, if you're doing insert links, you're going to have to escape the double quotes for the ahref double quote, right? Or equals double quote.
Yes, so if you're doing... Yes, yeah, so if you are... If you're doing, if you're creating a link here, so let's say we have ahref, and then we, there's a number of ways you could do this. So let's say that outside of our interpreted PHP program, we start creating a link, ahref, and then in quotes, we echo out whatever the link is. That is one way that you could get this to work. But if you are trying to just create the link all in PHP, so for example, you create $link, and then in there you define with double quotes a space href and then you do equal sign double quotes, that's actually going to cause the string to break for that reason. So there's like I said, there's two options to fix this. So let's actually put a link in here to cs75.net. I'm blanking. Okay, cs75.net. Okay, so you can see that with my syntax highlighting text editor that it thinks that the string is broken, correct? So if this were a PHP document and we tried to run it, we would get a parser error. So somebody help me out. How can I fix this string?
One way would be to use single quotes for the outer quotes.
Yes, yeah. So the easiest way is to change the outermost double quotes to single quotes. And then now you see that it causes the whole string to think, or it causes the entire string to be pumped into, to be defined properly without giving you a parser error. But the reason this might fail is if you did something like this. Let's say you had a variable earlier called URL, and in that you had the URL from which you were going to create the link, in this case cs75.net. And now what you wanted to do was to actually just insert the contents of that variable URL into your link like this, correct? So now what's going to happen with this? We have this string defined by single quotes, but in the middle we have double quotes. What's going to happen? Yeah, I'll print out this exact string, ahref equals double quotes dollar sign URL. This will cause it to fail. So what you have to do then is what?
Escape it.
Not escape.
Use double quotes on the outside and escape the double quotes around.
Yes, URL. Yes. So you have two options. The more messy of which is perhaps to change it back to the double quotes to define the string at the outside. But then again, remember you have these double quotes that are in the middle that are causing the string to break. So what you have to do is escape all of the double quotes that are within the string. You escape by putting a backslash before it, correct? So then now it looks messy because this is not what's actually going to be printed out. The parser will go through this string, and whenever it finds a backslash double quote, it's going to just, when it echoes it out, it's actually just going to make it a double quote. So then the other option that we had, if we were to keep it at single quotes, so let's do dollar sign link equals single quote, ahref, and then in double quotes, because we can mix that, what you have to do here is what, if you wanted to keep the single quotes without escaping? Yes, terminate the string with a single quote, add a concatenation operator, which is the period, and then add in the dollar sign URL, and then concatenate again a new string, so single quotes, and then double quotes to represent the end of the href, and then you can just continue going from there. Is that clear?
It is. The number of times that I was trying it, I actually also had it repeating on cs75.net too. It makes a lot of sense here.
Okay. Well, if you have specific problems, do feel free to let us know on the forum or by email. We'll help. Yes.
You can also quote the attribute value with single quote. Ahref equals single quote.
That's correct. So XHTML actually does allow you to create a link, or to quote values of attributes with single quotes, such as this, which says ahref equals single quote. HTTP CS75.net, which would allow you to avoid this whole mess to begin with. But certainly it's been a force of habit for myself to use double quotes to quote these the values for the attributes, and so this is how you get around that. But you can certainly use single quotes, so thank you for that. So in the third line, well,
the current cursor line.
Let's say we were going to use XHTML and define the value of the attribute with single quotes instead of double quotes like we've done in these previous lines. The way that you would do that is to create a link variable like that, and then now you would use double quotes to create the string. And now that you're using double quotes, the PHP parser will go through all of it And so we can create our value, or we can have the value of the string in here be the $URL, and this would actually work. Because remember that PHP goes through the string if it's in double quotes, and it will parse out the information here. But it will not in single quotes. So if you use single quotes to define a string, you must concatenate in the variable. If you use double quotes to define a string, you can put the variable directly in it.
I think right here, it's a little bit different because I was doing XPath stuff, but this was the thing that I thought didn't work because I'm so accustomed that oftentimes when I'm working with things and I have these nested quotes that the inner pair is actually being evaluated at a different point in my code than the outer pair, because things are often, like, in the past, things that I've been handling, it's been like one thing passed to another thing, and so I had to have the right kinds of code quotes. But in this sort of example, it's all being read a single time by the PHP, and so in like the other cases, that $URL would not be, the value of the $URL would not be inserted in many of the other.
Because after all, so it's in a single quote.
Right. Anything inside a single quote.
Right.
The variable, you know, the value won't be inserted. That's sort of like the thing that's been locked in my brain.
Right.
But I was overgeneralizing that maxim, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Do be careful. Don't overgeneralize it, because right here, you see that we have the $URL encapsulated by the single quotes, but it's not this single quote that PHP cares about. It's the quotes that you use to define the entire string.
Yeah.
And all of the quotes in the middle, it's just going to ignore. It doesn't care about. So in this case, it will still parse through and find the $URL and insert that into this variable link. So yeah, it can be tricky, especially if you have a big href link and there's lots and lots of attributes and values that you're inserting. It gets confusing and mind-boggling very, very quickly. Yes.
So, excuse me, when you're looking at our PHP code, would you prefer the middle one, or would you prefer the bottom one?
I
wouldn't prefer the top one.
Well, when I'm looking at PHP code, I don't care what you use. Use whatever works for you. Mm-hmm. You can use any of these three methods. You can escape all your double quotes if you want, but that's a pain. You can concatenate in all of your variables, but that's a pain. Or you can use switch your methodology to using single quotes to define values for attributes, but that's a pain. So you just have to pick one that you prefer and just stick with it. And frankly, if it works, we'll be able to read it, we'll go through it, and it won't be too big of a deal. So just don't confuse yourself. You may want to, there may be times even in your PHP code where you would switch between these three methods, depending on which is most convenient for a particular string, depending on how many quotes it has, etc. So do be mindful. But you know what I find happens a lot, just to keep talking about strings just a little bit. So let's say that we created a variable called $string, and let's say that we were going to say Dan said, and then we put in double quotes something that I quoted, and the reason that you would pick, or at least your logic, the reason that you're thinking of using the single quotes here is because you recognize that you're about to use double quotes somewhere in the string. Now, let's say that you just put a contraction in there with a single quote, you'll actually cause the string to break. So be careful of cases like this as well, where even just when it doesn't even come to your mind as being a quote, you're still using an apostrophe, which is a single quote, which will cause the PHP interpreter to stop parsing that particular string. So in this case, you would have to either switch to double quotes or escape the apostrophe or what have you. So do be careful of that sort of thing as well. Okay, so we talked a lot about strings, but in the 10 minutes of this first half remaining, let's talk about XPath. And I feel like we never have enough time to devote to XPath. So we've been talking about using XPath as another way, in addition to this arrow operator, to get data out of your XML document. And the reason that you can use either method. You can use either the arrow operator, you can use XPath, but you might find that XPath is easier for searching through long XML files to find a specific value or a specific element that you want to find. So, okay. Now, let's zoom in here on this code, which is an XPath query. So it starts with the root element, which remember is staff. So slash staff slash tf. So every time you have a slash, it's going to go into the child node or the child of that particular element. So a child of staff is tfs, and a child of tfs is tf. And now in the square bracket, you can define what's called a predicate. And it is whatever you have in here, PHP is going to try to figure out what makes that true and will return that particular set of variables. So in this case, the at sign represents what?
Attribute.
Yeah, an attribute. So in the predicate, we're going to look for an attribute called name whose value is equal to Dan. And in that case, it will return the TF element which matches this particular set of conditions. Now, it's possible to use more than one predicate as well. Let's see, this example is not the best one in the world for using this sort of nested predicate, but let's see. Where is that XML code we just wrote? So here, this was the XML file that you all helped me create just earlier today with the live video feeds and the rooms and such. Now, you see that we have defined the root element to be rooms, live video to be true, but let's say now that instead of making room number a separate element, let's just for an example, let's change the structure of this PHP document and then change room number to be an attribute of the building element. So in this case, it would be 302, and down here it would be 303. Right, everybody following along so far? You can actually create an XPath query, which I'm going to write the XPath query at the beginning of this XML document, but don't be confused. The XPath query, of course, goes in your PHP file and not with your XML. I'm just doing this so that you can see the XML at the same time. Let's say that I wanted to find all rooms whose live video is true. So how would I create an XPath query for that? To search for that. Any suggestions? What's the first thing I need?
Variables?
So, all right. So let's just say that we did $XML equals... Oh, no, wait. All right, $XML, arrow XPath. And so now we're going to put our query in here. But what in here is going to be the query?
Slash.
Okay, slash what? Rooms, yes, slash room, okay. Now what? Okay, a bracket because we want to test, we want to use a predicate. Now what?
At sign,
yes, correct. So then the attribute, which is live video, equals double quotes, and in there we said we wanted, what, live video to be true or five, well, whichever. So, in this case, we want to find all the rooms in which the live video is true. Okay? So, I'm sure many of you by now are realizing that you want to be able to create XPath queries, but you want to be able to do it by passing in a particular variable into the XPath query. So, let's say now that somehow through either get or post that I told this PHP file which type of room I wanted, either a live video to be true or a live video to be false. Let's say then that, we want a variable called $WeWant equals to either true or to false. But in this case, we'll make it true because we want to search for rooms that have a live video. So now, how would I modify this XPath query to be able to search for the contents of this variable?
Right after,
Okay, so you're saying to change the double quotes in the predicate to single quotes, and then just insert the variable directly in there.
No, she said concatenate.
Oh, to concatenate. Oh, that's perfect. Yes. So you keep the double quotes. You don't change any of it, but by putting the two single quotes, you're ending the string. Or by putting a single quote, you're ending the string. Use a period operator. Add in the variable we want. Use another period operator. And then with another single quote, you will be able to concatenate the remainder of this string. You can do that, certainly. That's probably the best way. The example that I've given in response to a question that was similar to this in the forum was instead just to put this in a separate string that I called XPath query. And just that way you can do all of your concatenation before you start getting down here to your actual XPath query. And then just put the contents or put this string variable into the XPath function. So XPath query, and that should result in the exact same thing. Yes?
With XPath, is there a way for me to put, let's say I want to get the date, is there a way for me to use room and then kind of drill down from there? Like, for instance, say I had a variable called value. Right, if I had a variable called values and I wanted to put room in values and use that
Okay, are you asking about after we have performed the XPath query?
Right.
Okay, so yes, so it is possible to find all of the children elements from a result of the XPath query. So right now, let's say that right now we have performed this query where we're looking for rooms that have a live video feed against this XML file, right? So now instead, let's say that...
And so what you have in result is an array of room elements, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. So now what I've done is put the results of the XPath query into a variable called $result, and the result is actually going to be that simple XML object. So you can perform all of the same operations on this simple XML object that you could before. So you can do, for example, echo $result and then arrow operator to date, because date in this case is a child of the result. Because remember, the results, the XPath query says that we are going to get all of the results of from the rooms. I didn't say that very well. The XPath query says that we are going to get the element room and all of its children whose data matches this one, so at where the live video feed is equal to true. So we are getting all of that data, all of this data from the room, which includes the building, the date, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Does that make sense? Okay. All right, so I encourage you to take a look at the section notes that will be posted soon, not only from this week, but from last week, to get a feel for XPath, although already you should have a pretty good feel for XPath and XML and all of that stuff. We need to take a 5-minute break to switch tapes, and when we come back, Kato will talk all about session variables.
Okay, welcome to the second half of this section. Today, I'll be covering sessions. I'll be recapping on the shopping cart example that I covered last section. And also, in the second half of this second half, I'll be covering form validation, because it's something that I've seen cropping up on the forums and in emails from students. So yeah, those are the two things that we'll be covering, and then if you have any questions, I'll be able to answer them. So first, sessions. I think you all remember the shopping cart example from last week. It wasn't like this, but it's... Oh, wait, sorry. So this is actually a newer version of my shopping cart example from last week. And if you recall, last week I had what would you like to buy and what price would you like to put on it and the quantity. So that wasn't such a good idea, because basically the user could choose the price. So now what I've done is I've implemented this list. It basically has these menu items that you might have on a typical pizza website. And it basically just asks for the quantity. And when I press add to cart, this is the same page from last week. It adds the item to the cart. And if you click go to cart, it will display the cart. And if you remember, this is implemented using something called sessions. And session, if you recall, PHP has a super global called $_session, which stores the session variables for any user's session. So if we go to the code, firstly, this is index.php. If we scroll down, you see I've implemented the drop-down menu using this HTML tag that you may or may not have seen before. It's called select, and it basically just implements the drop-down menu. And if you're implementing your own project one, then you'll probably have to use it to say have a list of pizzas or salads or wraps or whatever the Three Aces menu has. And how the select menu works is that it works like the input. It works a little bit different from the input tag. And you start it with a select tag, and then inside there are zero or more option tags. And within these option tags, you specify what you want to appear in the list. And here I've got large onion pizza, small onion pizza, and large red, small red pepperoni pizza. Those are the four choices that are available in the drop-down menu. And I close it off with a select tag. So basically, it's very similar to the input tag in that if the user, say, chooses small onion pizza in the drop-down menu, the data submitted to this form, the post, the data posted to add.php in this form, will be the same as if the user had typed small onion pizza into a text form named text form element named kind. So I'll just show you what happens when I submit this form on add.php. So on add.php, I have it's only slightly different from last week's code. If you see here, I have dollar kind. This is a new variable I'm registering and initializing, and I just read in what the user selected in the drop-down menu by calling $_post_kind. So if the user had selected small onion pizza in index.php and posted that data to add.php, this page, the $kind variable would receive small onion pizza. So none of this has changed except for the name. $oral wasn't such a good name, so I've changed it to $row now. Does anyone have any questions about the array, associative array works and $session variable?
It makes perfect sense now, but I'm mm-hmm. wondering if do we have access to your source code so that it'll make sense at midnight?
Yes, actually, this code was available from last week on the sections website. Yes, if you went to shopping cart example. And I'm going to change this a little bit in class, and then later on tonight I'll submit a new copy. So yeah. So what I want to do now is does anyone have any questions about the current state of this code, index.php, add.php, and the shopping cart page, cart.php. This hasn't changed from last week. Does anyone have any questions? Okay. So if not, there are some things that I still need to change in this code, because if I go to large red onion pepperoni pizza and press add to cart, there's a slight aesthetic problem with this. It says, thank you for wanting a large red pepperoni pizza. You'll be charged $3.8. And 3.8, it makes sense, but usually you write it 3.80, right? So the problem here is that we need to find a way to output the number 3.80. So we could say add a zero to this manually, but that would be a slightly, not slightly, it would be a terrible idea. So we want to find a way to do this in PHP automatically. So it turns out that PHP does actually have a function that formats a number into a string. And the function is called printf. It stands for print format. And we can change this to basically I'm just breaking up the lines. You'll see that nothing has actually changed. I've just split it up into three lines. And now if I change this to printf, %.2f price, and if I refresh this page, you'll see that it's magically changed to $3.80. Now, why is this the case? So printf is actually a built-in PHP function that takes two or more arguments. And the first argument is called a format specifier. And here, the format is %.2f. And I'll get back to that later. And the second argument here is price, which has been specified here as 3.80. It's a number. And it's just the second argument for this. So what this format specifier does, it seems pretty mystic at the moment. It might seem mystic. But if you basically, to, if we change this to %f and refresh, you'll see that it does 3.800000. This is because the %f here means insert a float. A float is a number with a certain number of decimals. So it means insert the first argument, the dollar price, into this placeholder. So a format string is basically like a template for your strings. And within that template, you can have multiple multiple placeholders for your data. And in this case, we have one placeholder, exactly one placeholder named, which has been specified with %f. And inside it will be replaced. This will be replaced with dollar price when printf is called. So we can do multiple things with printf. So for example, printf So this included the this replaced %f with the contents of dollar price, right? We can also do now what will this output if say price was 3.80? I have a dollar sign here. And notice it's single quotes, so PHP is not going to do anything special with these. So what would it return?
Just
yeah. Mm-hmm. So this will return 3.80000. So if you recall, I typed in 0.2f in the beginning. And that's because the point, if we have anything between, this is the type of the data, which is float at the moment. And this is just, this specifies the beginning of a placeholder. If we put dot and then any number here, then the number of decimal points will be this. So that's why I had .2f. If I have .2f, then the result of that will be 3.80, yes. So if I put this in here, if I replace this with this, then I get this. So does everyone see why I got 3.80 by using printf %.2f and then dollar price?
But there is no dollar sign in there.
Oh, so sorry. If I wanted the dollar sign in the output, then I would put dollar here, and then I would get $3.80. Yeah. So printf is actually a very powerful function if you want to to display numbers in any way. So at the moment, I've put links at on my CSE75 website at I have some links here. The first one is the sprintf function. PHP manual page. If you just note down the URL here, it's www.keitr.com/ section, slash 3. If you forget the slash 3, it's okay. But on this page, I've just got two links to the to relevant pages on the web about printf. And the first page is the PHP manual page on sprintf. And sprintf is a function similar to printf, the only difference being that printf prints out the result, but sprintf returns the result as a string. So if I have sprintf $%.2f, then I get back a string with this output. It doesn't output it by default, but I can do, for example, echo sprintf something, and then it'll have the same effect as printf. So on this page, the reason why I linked to the sprintf PHP manual page is because the format specifiers are described on this page instead of the printf page for some reason. So if you look at this, it can be a bit cryptic, but this is the official PHP manual on, like, so if you see here, it's a bit small, but f, the argument is treated as a float and presented as a floating point number. So this is what I used to present price as a floating point number. And the point that I used is the optional precision specifier that says how many decimal digits should be displayed for floating point numbers. The problem with this PHP manual page is that it doesn't actually tell you to use the dot sign. So this dot thing isn't actually described in this sprintf PHP manual page for some reason. I couldn't find it. So that's why I linked to the second page on my list, printf on the English Wikipedia. The English Wikipedia actually has a better has examples. It's got some details about other languages which we won't be using in the course. But the near the end, it has these very easy to use suggestions and examples for the format specifier. So here, where is the dot? Let's see, might be. Okay, well, somewhere here, there is precision. Is there, where is it? Oh, precision can be omitted or any of a number. Yes, this is where it says cause the decimal portion of the output to be expressed in the least number digits. So, yeah, if you look at this page, you'll be able to figure out printf and sprintf. Yes.
A little bit off the subject, but I had a problem with this printf regarding zip codes.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if I'm trying to put like 02140,
right,
mm-hmm, and it will change the number because of the zero, it will change the number,
right,
into.
Oh, okay. So it won't pad the beginning with a zero,
yeah,
right?
So not that I didn't have even the, it will change the number completely.
Oh,
really?
Right. Yeah, if a number begins with zero, then PHP thinks it's an octal number, which is a different way to represent numbers. Like, there's binary, there's octal, there's decimal, which we use normally. So if you want to do that, you could specify it as a string. And if you want to print out, say, the number 02138, let's say you want to print this out as a number, and by default, if you do... Let's say this is a string with 02138. Then if you do echo str, then... well, actually, this will be a string, so it's okay. But let's say this is a number with... let's say this is a number, but echo will, by default, print this out as 2138, because obviously leading zeros are not significant. But if we can use printf to... We can actually do... percent so this is 5 digits, right? So this is actually not the precision specifier, but there's a different width specifier, which specifies how long the minimum length should be. So you can do 0, 5. In this case, this isn't f, because it's not a floating point number. It's a decimal number. So 0, 5d, the zip code. So this should give you the zip code with the leading zero. Let's just try it out. Hopefully it works. Let's see. So I'm going to
still converting.
Oh, really?
I didn't put it as a string.
Right. So usually you would receive this as a string, right? Because in your form, you're asking the user the zip code, and any get or post variables are always strings, regardless of what they contain. Mm-hmm. So you shouldn't have any problems with that, because are you currently hard-coding the zip code into your into your form?
No, I was just playing around.
Oh, okay.
I thought, like, for example, in a database, if right. you're holding the zip code as a number,
right.
just because it's faster mm-hmm. But that's okay.
Okay, so, well, if you receive it via text, then you can print it out. You should be able to print it out in 5 digits using this. Okay? All right, so, what was I going to do? So, we can change this with, replace with this with .2f to make it display this. And we can also do the same with the cart page to make the numbers nicer. So, can anyone tell me what I should do with this line to make it display the numbers properly? Remember, we're using the .2f, %.2f specifier. What can I change in this line?
Sprintf.
Yeah, in this case, we would use sprintf. Since we're concatenating these strings together, we might as well concatenate another string together to display the price. So I can say, for example, dot sprintf, and what is the format to use? What format should I use?
Percent 2f.
Mm-hmm. %.2f. %2f has a different meaning, so we have to be careful about %.2f. And we have the closing parentheses here, luckily. So if we refresh this, yeah, we have the subtotals displaying properly. And we can do the same for unit price and grand total, but I leave that up to you to mess around with the code. Yes?
The %.2f,
mm-hmm.
Does that mean that there is exactly two places to the right of the decimal, or at least two places to the right of the decimal?
I believe it's exactly two numbers after the decimal, because it's also the rounding figure. So if you had 3.809, it would display 3.81 once you printf'd it. Yes.
What about before the dot?
What do you mean? Oh, a number before the dot?
Yes.
Oh, a number before the dot is treated like you could, for example, you could change this to %05.2f, and basically everything before the dot here has been omitted. But in this case, we have pad to five digits. And then 2 digits after the decimal point. So this is just displaying the kind of format that the resulting output will be. Yes.
So when you're saying 0.5,
mm-hmm.
is the zero defining the character that you're padding with?
Yeah, that's right. Usually it's a space, and with numbers it's a zero. But you probably don't need to specify zero here, because it's automatically going to be zero because it's a number. But just to be safe, I'm specifying zero here. Which means that if my number was, say, 138, then using this format specifier would result in 00138. So we're padding the left with zeros. Everything that isn't filled in already with data will be replaced with zeros. Is that clear? Does anyone have any questions about printf and sprintf? Okay. So next, I want to go on to... Does anyone have any questions about sessions? Because I'll be moving on to something else. Yes?
Only if there's a short answer.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't worried anything about concurrency or multiple people ordering at the same site,
mm-hmm.
and so on.
Right.
Can I just assume that if I don't write out to the file system,
mm-hmm.
that the session variables magically take care of... There's no locking, there's no
right.
cross.
Mm-hmm.
I could start an order at this site, and then you could start an order, but
mm-hmm.
you could finish before I...
Yeah, that's perfectly fine, because with sessions, as I explained last week, multiple users can have different sessions at the same time, and their data will never mingle with each other, because they're kept in separate files on the file system internally.
even though Apache itself is just serving static.
Right. But PHP will is automatically creating different files for each person, based on their based on the large random number that's stored on their browser.
So if for some reason I did choose to, I don't need to, but write out to the file system, that would be my responsibility. If I wrote out the order, to choose a date, time, or something to make it unique.
Yeah, it's also your responsibility if you start using databases. We'll be covering databases next week. So. I don't know if it will be required for the projects in this course, but if you're writing a professional program, then you will certainly need to deal with concurrency and locking, which is something that will be that I think David will mention.
That's why you would use a database, right? Because that handles concurrency for you.
Yeah, if you use locking mechanisms in the database, yeah. So, but we don't need to worry about it for sessions because and for this project, we're just emailing the results to people, and email is inherently concurrent. Okay, so, yes?
When you place the array in the session variable, is there any reason why you call array and not the variable row?
Is it this one? Oops, sorry. Here?
Yeah, is there a reason why you don't?
Oh, right. So, here is where I'm appending the row.
Okay.
But here, I'm initializing the row.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I think on the version that's currently posted on the course website, it's commented clearly that I'm actually just initializing this $sessionCart variable as an associative array, or rather as a blank array. If the SessionCart variable hasn't been initialized already, the isSet function does exactly what it says. It checks if it is set. So if the $SessionCart variable is already set, then this code won't execute because of the negation, the exclamation mark. But if this $SessionCart variable hasn't been initialized yet, then it will set this as a blank array so that we can append $row to the end of $SessionCart. Is that clear? Okay. So does anyone have any questions about... Yes?
I have a question about back to the...
printf?
Yeah. I'm looking at example number 8 on
PHP.net. Right. Could you tell me what that...
Okay, it's person signed
01.2f.
Yes.
Right. And what is it output?
Like the output says it's 123.10.
123.10. Okay. Now that's interesting.
I think the one is a minimum number.
Right. Yeah, I think it. Yeah. I think you're right. It's the minimum number of of number of digits before the dot. So so I guess the input was had this 123. It was 123.1 or something. Was the input?
No, it's 123.
Okay, so the input is 123.10, and the output of this is also 123.10.
No. Actually, it's adding like two numbers.
Oh, okay.
So this is the output.
Okay. So in any case, it means that because this because the digits before the decimal point, there are three of them instead of less than one or one. There are more than one of one digits before the decimal point. So this is the minimum number of digits to display before the decimal point, not the absolute number. So if this were the absolute, then it would be a pretty terrible function, right? It would display 3.10 when it means 123.10. So yeah, I was wrong. It's the minimum number. So any more questions about sessions or printf? Okay. If not, I want to go on to form validation. So can anyone tell me what form validation is? What is form validation? Any takers?
Making sure that submitted data is what your program expects or requires.
Yeah. So basically, you don't want... So it prevents security problems. If a user, especially in when you start using databases, you'll find that users can type in random... Not random, but specially crafted strings into your form to create what are called SQL injection attacks. And this is a security problem that that many... even professional websites suffer from, and they get attacked very easily. So it's very important that you look at a user's data. You don't trust it at all, but you look at it. You make sure that it's in the correct format. You make sure it doesn't do anything bad with your program or file system. And it's been and it's been covered in previous sections too. I think I think Dan covered looking at a file system to make sure looking at a file name to make sure that it was allowed to be executed. Or something, and this is basically just a basic foundation for that kind of form validation. So if we go to this page that I created earlier on, validation form. So here we have a form that just asks for a name. It's a very simple form. It just submits to trimempty.php and with the name, and it's basically just a form with that one element. You'll see why it's called trimempty.php because when we implement it, okay. So this is going to be trim. This is going to be trimempty.php. So just a very basic warm-up. What do I need to do if I want to print out the name of the person who just entered their name? The name of the this text field was my name. What can I do? Echo $_get my name. Okay, so just to prove that it works, I get Dan. Okay, so now what are some possible scenarios? One scenario is that the user actually types in a name correctly. What is another scenario?
That there's nothing there.
Yeah, that the user doesn't type in anything and simply presses check my name. And what do I get? I get a blank page because the string with the name is blank. So I want to complain to the user if he or she types in if he or she doesn't type in anything. What can I do?
Check the length.
Yes, check the length. With PHP, there's an even simpler function that can. Right. If yes, that would work. But
there's a function called empty.
Yes, there's exactly right. In PHP, there's a function called empty, which takes one string, or actually not a string, anything, a string or an array, I think. And if we do this, so empty will return true if the string is empty, and false if the string is not empty. So in this case, if my name is empty, then this block of code will be executed. So we can say, for example, you didn't type a name.
Will it return true if the variable is not set?
If yes, it will return true if the variable is not set. There's also I mentioned earlier the function isSet. The problem with using isSet here is that even if the user doesn't type in anything here, then you will see that if you see the URL, it says my name equals nothing. So so my name is actually set. It's set to an empty string. So in this case, we can't use isSet. We have to use empty. Does everyone get that? Okay. So you didn't type a name. Did I actually save this because it didn't execute trim empty PHP? Oh yeah, it did execute actually. You didn't type a name, so it's working. Now, what is another scenario? A number, yes. We'll get to that a little bit later. Yes, space. So let's say I type in a lot of spaces here and check my name. The code that checks whether the string is empty hasn't executed, because if you see in the URL, there's a long array of plus signs, which is the URL encoded form of a space. So basically, I've just got a lot of spaces. If I highlight this page, you can't see it. But basically, trust me, there are a lot of spaces here in this page. So what can I do to check if it's basically empty? To the human eye, it looks empty. How can I check to see if the string looks empty? Yes.
Trim white space.
Yes, trim white space. And what do I mean by trim? Can anyone tell me what I mean by trim? Yep.
But the one with the string.
Yeah. Right. So so if a string is like and let's say these are spaces. There's a function in PHP called trim, which will take this string and then return anything. So it basically strips off the any leading spaces and any trailing spaces. It doesn't say trim any spaces in here, because that wouldn't be a very nice effect of this function. But it simply removes the spaces from here and here. So it's useful in this context, because we can say if empty trim, actually if empty trim will not work, because empty expects a constant. So we can say if trim get name equals an empty string, then if we refresh, you didn't type a name. So I think there's a problem with using both empty and trim on the same variable, because empty does not like taking a function. Yes.
Could you change the value of get my name?
Yes, you could do that.
Get my name and then empty?
Yeah, you could do that, but for the sake of simplicity and for the sake of not creating arbitrary variables when I don't necessarily need them, I wanted to do this. But certainly, it's possible to say, you can reassign $getMyName to the result of trim, and then use empty on that. Yes.
Could you try passing trim to empty?
Yeah, I'll try. So, does that look right? So yeah, can't use function return value in write context, because empty expects a variable, not the result of a function. But you can certainly assign it, because then it becomes a variable. If you assign the result of a function into a variable, then it becomes a variable. So you could use empty there. But in this case, you would want to use trim and then equals empty string. Yes.
Does trim remove all forms of white space, including like tabs and like returns or something?
I believe it does. It removes any kind of white space, yes.
My question was tabs, whether you had to do a slash T, or whether there was a code for the other characters that you needed to figure it out. We asked the same question.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, so it removes any kind of white space. Yes.
Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but is there a way to make it so that the error message that you define in that echo statement afterwards will appear on the same page as the form?
Oh yes, it's certainly possible. So you would want to do that by implementing trimempty.php, the form validation script. You'd want to implement it by putting this code into the form itself, and then the form would call itself. So it would check to see if any of its variables had been set, then it means that the form had called itself, right? So basically, there are two cases. If we have one form calling another, so let's say we have this form. There's a form here that calls itself. So this is a frequently used trick. If a form calls itself, then it'll basically execute the same script over again, right? So you'd expect it to go in an endless loop, because you just see the same form over and over again. But you can, above this form, you can do in PHP code, you can say, if, for example, you can say, if is set one of the variables, then then do this validation and not the form. Does that make sense? So we create two branch cases in this page. One scenario is that the form hasn't been submitted, that it's just the user just wants to see the form. And the second scenario, the form has been submitted, and the user wants to see the validation, and then after that, if the validation succeeds, then the user wants to go to the next page. Okay? All right. So this is one type of validation. It's very simple. It checks for the emptiness or not of a variable, and it's something that you'll want to use in your forms. For example, if the user doesn't type in his or her name, if the user doesn't type in their address, you'll want to complain because you don't want a pizza order without those specific details. So the next type of validation is... So we go back to your question of checking if it's certain a variable is a number. So we would want to do that in some cases where you want a specific number. Can you name a situation where we might want to use that?
Well, if you want people to put basically the name, mm-hmm. and you don't want them, so you want them to really put the name. You don't want them to put some people, filling a form and put 123.
All right. So.
And then you like in the database, you're mm-hmm. looking. Oh, who is employee 123?
Yeah. Right, it can be used in that case, but...
How about quantity greater than zero?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. If we go back to the quantity page of this shopping cart, you'll see that if I type in some random text that isn't a number, this script actually ignores it and thinks it's zero because PHP automatically treats that as zero, but... We actually want to check to see if the user has typed in anything that isn't a number, because it's a bad idea to be relying on PHP's default behavior. So we go to the add.php page and go up. Now, this page also already has some kind of validation. What does the validation basically do? It's in this line. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. If either the kind is empty or if the quantity is empty, then it redirects to index.php. But we can add some more validation to it. Let's just put it here for sake of simplicity. What can we say here to specify that if quantity isn't a number, then we complain? What can we say here? Mm-hmm. Right. That's also possible. But PHP actually has a built-in function that does this. Can anyone name it?
Is number function?
It's actually it's very close. It's the is numeric function. So we can say if is numeric, or actually in this case if it isn't numeric. So negation is numeric. If is numeric $post quantity. Then we want to say quantity must be a number.
Can you have a space between the exclamation point and the is numeric?
Yes.
Would that still be valid?
Yeah, you can. But it's nice to keep it close together. So, yes.
Is that going to check to make sure it's an integer?
It will accept floats as well. So, you'd want to check if it was an integer. But there's also more things missing with this function. I mean, with this validation. There's something else that we need to check. Yeah, negative numbers. So what can we, what code can we type to make this check for negative numbers? To make this complain if there is a negative number?
If $post quantities. Less than zero.
Yeah. So we can say if this or, so that's the or sign, the Boolean or, if not is numeric or the quantity is less than zero, then quantity must be a positive number. So if we refresh this page, yeah, quantity must be a positive number because we typed in this. And if we type in minus 10, for example, quantity must be a positive number. So now to test out your the non-integer. Okay, so is numeric obviously just looks for an integer.
You still had the negative in there?
Oh, did I? Oh, sorry. Okay, so it it accepts a non-integer as well. It's a nice bug. So what can we do to check that it's a integer?
Is there not an is integer?
I don't think so. If we look on the
is underscore int.
Oh yeah, yeah. So sorry, there is an is int function which will check if it's an integer. But does that check to see if it's a numeric string as well? Because there's a function, I believe isInt also checks that something is an int. And in this case, $postQuantity, whatever the value of $postQuantity is, it is never a number. It's always a string. So I don't think isInt will work, because it will always return false, because this is a numeric string. We could do that. We could just treat it as a. We could just make it an integer by casting it to an integer as well. This we can do by saying quantity equals int. And this will change the quantity to an integer. So if we type in. Yeah, so we typed in 10.60, and now it's 10. Yeah, on this line. So can anyone tell me what I did here? I mentioned casting. What does this brackets int do? What does it do?
It changes the type.
Yeah, it changes the type. So PHP has very loose typing. It doesn't really care about types usually, but in this case, if I explicitly say the $postQuantity is to be made an integer, then PHP will perform its conversion of floats to integers, which basically strips off everything after the decimal point. I don't think it even deals with decimal. Rounding. It'll just chop off the end of the decimal point and treat it as an integer. So $postQuantity here will always be an integer with nothing after the decimal point. Is that clear? Yeah, right. But in that case, it's really the user's fault for typing in anything that isn't a number, so you can safely... Well, I know, you might want to change the quantity to, like, plus 10 or something, but it's... this... I wish there was something in PHP that could do... that could actually check for an integer, an integeric string, but I don't think there is one. So the next type of so we want to go on to I was actually going okay. So does anyone have any questions about these form validation things? Empty is numeric and trim. Yes.
I have a lot of questions. I'll give back to you.
Okay. If you have any questions that are relevant to the whole section, then
probably the empty part.
The empty part. Okay. So
what is it?
Okay. So empty is basically checking the $postKind, checking whether $postKind is empty or not, whether it's an empty string or not. So it's the same thing as doing this. It's nearly similar to doing. It's very similar to doing this. This is checking to see if $postKind is an empty string, right? So $postKind equals is it equal? And this is just an empty string. It's two single quotes.
And on the website, mm-hmm. GUI, what would it look like?
The empty string?
Yes.
If you echoed an empty string, it would not do anything because there's nothing to to echo out.
I mean, what would the result be? Would it like default to like need to type something or?
What would default to?
Yeah, I mean, would it say you have to type something, not use a empty string?
You have to compose the feedback. That's right. Where a little just below that, where it says echo,
right.
It must be a positive mm-hmm. number. That
yes,
you create that yourself. That's not built. The function is not going to automatically output any sort of text
mm-hmm.
to the
so empty is basically just going to return to you a Boolean value, a true or false value. So you have to do this yourself. You have to echo something, an error message, and then do the error handling yourself.
You actually said if you put like echo empty post kind,
mm-hmm.
the output would be like, it would be one.
Right.
It would be zero.
Yeah, because one or zero correspond to true or false. But you wouldn't do that. You would usually use empty in an if statement or similar. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Makes sense.
Okay. So does anyone have any other questions about these validation functions?
You want to try validating a phone number?
Or
is that going a little too far?
That would involve regular expressions, which is a whole completely different topic. Actually, if anyone's interested in regular expressions are basically a very advanced form of validation. It checks the format of your string. And if you're into that kind of thing, then I actually posted some links to regular expressions on the section website that I mentioned earlier on. Oops. Here I have these three regular expression resources. And if you've ever been interested in regular expressions, then these three pages might be of use. And especially the PREG match function is what implements regular expressions in PHP. You may have, I think David has used regular expressions in class before using Apache's .htaccess files. He did the, if the, sorry, if the server matches cs75.net, then stay there, but if the server matches something else, then redirect to cs75.net. So that was using regular expressions, and if you'd like to find out about that, then these three links can be pretty useful for implementing that kind of thing, which you might want to do for zip codes or telephone numbers or anything in your form that requires that kind of validation. Okay, so if nobody has any questions, then we'll wrap up. So, okay, so it looks like no one has any questions. So, if you have any questions, then please feel free to come up. I'll be sticking around for a few minutes. Yeah, so thank you very much, and see you next week.